Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
I was reading over here in 2 Corinthians 5. And I was thinking about how we understand sometimes what we read, and we hear things, but maybe we don't think real deeply about it, or we think one way about it, or we just gloss over it and read over it and things like that. A couple of things that I was reading, I was thinking about is, now this is in the Passion Translation. He talks about that because we are convinced he has given his life for all of us. Okay, so we start with that Christ died for all. He's tasted death for every man concept, all right?
But in your death and separation, you got to do something to get in on it.
That's what we were told. But then he follows it. This means all died with him. Okay? Depending on how different translations on this, they'll word it different ways, but it goes back to the idea that Christ died one death for all humanity.
Yeah.
And that's all humanity, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
It's, some call it a federal head concept. It was like,
like where we're in Adam.
We were in Adam, now we're in Christ. Just like Adam's one transgression affected us all, Jesus' one act of obedience at the cross has affected us all.
Yeah.
But in Adam all die, in Christ all live. And that's where we're at now. This is the good news that we're to reorientate ourselves to, is that based on who Jesus is and what he's done, we are no longer to think about ourselves from an Adamic standpoint, but we are to think about ourselves from a Christ standpoint.
Yeah.
Because the next sentence says, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. And that's the point of it, is that you can continue to live like a dead man, but you are not a dead man. You have life. That life that you have comes from the one and only source of life, which is Christ himself, and that's why you have it and you are in him. But you get a choice of how you going to think about your life and how you going to live. You can do it Adam's way or Christ's way.
That's right.
But the only common sense, logical, true way to look at it is that life is dead and over and gone, judged and dealt with. Now the only way life you have is in Christ. God is your Father. You're his child. He's given life. He loves life with you, and that's the way you're to live now. So quit living a self-absorbed life and live for the one that died and rose again for you.
Live with him.
Live with him. Yeah. Here's another, today seems to be the word day of paying attention to some words. We don't live as much for God as much as we live from God.
That's right.
It's not like he's out there and I'm doing this for him. Now, that's this old redneck's view of it.
Yeah.
As much as he's in us and he's we're doing it with him. He's doing it through us. He's doing it as us, and we're in partnership in that process. It's from him I'm living.
That reminds me of some old stuff like, Jesus has done so much for you.
Yeah. Why don't you do something for him?
What will you do for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off your butt. Get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Christ gave it all. What will you give? Yeah. Let's take up an offering.
Yeah. Oh, mercy.
But okay. But that goes back to, that's transactional relationship.
Oh, yeah. If you, you know, do this, God will do that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Bless and, God. We don't and, have to live there.
No, that's, but that's the way of this world. That's all fear, shame, guilt-based.
Tit for that tat.
Yeah, legal concept.
Quid pro quo.
I don't know. You done got words I don't know about.
I'll do this if you do that.
And that system was destroyed by Jesus.
He took it to the cross.
He took it to the cross, and it's gone. But we still want to bring it back. He has established us in a pure love relationship of absolute grace.
We're like them old boys down to the mountain, seeing it lightning and thundering, and telling Moses, you go
talk.
See what God says, yeah. And come back and tell us.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't realize the life. We get to do life with God.
Exactly. Exactly.
There is some thunder and lightning.
Okay. All right. It's a relationship, and it's a conversational relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But like you mentioned, Moses, who's, I'm going to say, 1,500 years before Jesus. He's up on Mount Sinai, and all the people are going, you go talk to him.
Yeah.
And then you tell us what he said, because we don't want this face-to-face. Of course, now that very much was the whole picture of the scene was a law scene.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, yeah. I agree with you. I don't want to have much to do with that law either.
Yeah.
But but the root of it was, I want a priest or a mediator. Yeah. I want to go between.
Yeah, and they said, whatever you say, we'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lie.
That was a lie. Yeah. And I think Moses came down and said, behold the blood.
Ooh.
On that occasion. Yeah. He said, they said, whatever he said, we'll do. And he said, behold the blood. He's trying to, all that's trying to point us to what Jesus was accomplishing for us.
Yeah. That life.
Right.
That's available. That tree of life.
Well, he's brought us back to a face-to-face relationship. He's brought us into a conversational relationship, and it's a relationship of absolute grace and complete love. And from that, there is freedom, there's choice, there's never coercion, and there's no tricks to it. There's no deception to it. It's pure.
Yeah. I keep going back to it, but I just can't. I keep thinking one day I'm going to grasp it. How that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with man and God.
Yeah.
And the terms are beating. He beat back.
Mm-hmm.
So he fleshed out. He hammered out that life, that eternal life, that life of God in the flesh. He hammered out that relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the life that's ours.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh every time, because that's awesome.
It is awesome.
That's our life.
That's our life.
We get to live in communion face to face.
Yes.
Trusting him to live in and through us. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. All I do is respond to him.
Yeah. Okay. That's the idea. Is he speaks, we respond. He leads, we follow. But it's such a balanced relationship. Is okay. How about this, James? Let me say it this way. It is such a mutual relationship. And here we go again. I'm running out of words to say what I want to say. Okay, but let me take a stab at it. I realize that there is a way in which he is Father, and we are child, son. Okay, all right. So he is in preeminence. not trying to detract from that
he
at all.
He is God.
He is God, and we are man, okay? So I'm not trying to take away from that. But at the same time, the relationship of love, he has humbled himself to come to me. And in that humility of getting down on my level, he so shares his life in the relationship, and it is so mutual that while most of the time I will use the language of he speaks and I respond, he leads and I follow.
He's on both sides of it.
But there, because of the mutuality of the relationship and the purity of the love, he also follows where I go.
Yeah. Yeah. You okay. Take him with you.
Yes. You take him with you. And he, and,
you see those deep.
But the mutuality of the relationship, like you talk about, these signs shall follow those who believe.
Yeah.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Lo, I'll be with you. And the idea, he's sending us, but the one that sent us goes with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're,
and it's because it's this mutual partnership relationship.
We are one. We're in union.
We're in union.
Over there in some of them verses you was reading, Ephesians, talking about our union.
Well, you're union, in union.
Therefore, since we are now in Christ, it says.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I was reading out of 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 17, he says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us a ministry of reconciliation. Okay.
That starts out sounding a little transactional.
Okay, that's what I was going to point out. Is even in the Passion Translation that I love, he says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ. My understanding of that, this is down here in the South with country folks, we would say that is now since you are in Christ, these things are true.
Yeah.
All things have passed away, all things are new, and everything's of God.
That's right.
All right, just that thought itself is that all the old, he says it's gone. It's permanently, completely removed forever.
Yeah,
he has put away sin.
He gets it straight after that.
He does. He
talks
does.
About
and it's a...
What is.
What is. Which...
But that goes back to that sense.
Sense. Since you are. Instead of if. Because the if, where I come from, it's iffy.
Yeah,
it's conditionality.
You got to do something.
You got it. It depends on you. It's a condition upon you. It's some people got it. Some people don't.
Yeah, us
you
make and
it,
them.
Yeah, it gets an us and them, and then it begets even a fragile. Maybe you got it. Maybe you lost it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're getting it. Maybe you're not.
I hope so.
And it's like puts you on this walking this tightrope of restrictions because if when I've come to the place I don't think that's the idea. Maybe I just misunderstood it. I might be misunderstanding it today. But I don't think so, because the more I've learned about who Jesus is, he took the if out.
Yeah, since you are in Christ.
Yeah, well, he either did something or he didn't.
And God did something before he did anything.
Exactly.
He associated us in Christ.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, and then he came and proved and revealed. He revealed it and proved it.
And becoming a man, He took our flesh. He took what we are upon himself. As in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, all
shall be made alive.
It's because of what he did, and he talks about in that passage.
Yeah, so he did that.
He just went with the more traditional way of translating that, not actually putting the sense, which is fine. It's his translation.
That's fine. And I'm not saying that, I mean, who am I to give any kind of correction about proper grammar?
Yeah,
listen to me a second, and you'll know better than that. But I also know from my own experience in pastoring people that if where I come from is highly conditional.
Yeah.
And instead of when we say sense.
Well, it's just like Adam. Well, we didn't have an issue with that. Well, you in church, they taught us well. You're a descendant of Adam. You're born in sin, and you're separated from God.
Yeah.
Well, Christ turned all that around, whatever that was.
Whatever it was, yeah.
And
that goes back to, I skipped this verse a while ago when I was reading, but right before it, he said, so from now on, we refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what we're doing. We're still judging people from the outside because of their behavior or their belief system.
Yeah.
When that whole thought process and system got destroyed at the cross.
Yeah.
And now he's like, look at people in light of the finished work of Christ. Look at them and who they are in Jesus.
And what he has done.
What he has done. And what God says about them. Whether they act like it or not. Yeah. Whether they believe it or not.
That's right. How did he say it? The love of Christ compels us.
The love of Christ compels us. Yes. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Because
that's
why?
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
Yeah. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly. Yeah, because we're convinced he has given his life for all of us. Because this is what Jesus came and did. This is what was so radical.
So he died. If he died, then all were dead.
All were dead, yeah.
All died with
But he gives life to dead things.
He did.
Yeah, because he went straight into our death and brought us back out of it.
He led captivity captive.
He did.
Were you captive?
He's got the keys of death and hell. We all were.
Yeah, in Adam.
In Adam.
Come on, somebody.
But now
we're getting to the heart of it now.
But now we've all been made alive in Christ.
Now we're getting to the heart of it.
Yeah. See, Jesus came and he looked at people in light of his finished work. He looked at people through the lens of the original blueprint of God. He didn't see them as we saw them and judged them. He saw them as lost sons and daughters, and he was on a mission to bring them home to the Father, and he did it. He knew every person had value and worth. He knew every person was made in the image of his Father. He knew we were lost in darkness and our blindness and held captive. But everything that we struggled with and everything that was against us, he came as a man, walked straight into it and faced it and conquered it, dealt with it in every shape, form, or fashion.
In relation to his Father.
In relation to his Father. And pulled it off the table and said, now you're mine, you're in me, and I'm making all things new, and it starts today. And we're still in the process of that.
He uncrooked the crook.
Yeah. Well, to go back to something that we were on a while ago about we want somebody to go to talk to God for us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we are in 2024. So I'm going to round the numbers and say we are 2,000 years since Jesus got out of the tomb.
Yeah.
And to this day, people don't want to talk to God themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody else to pray for them and talk to him and hear from him. they still look to their priest of their church or their pastor of their church as if that one guy is better qualified.
Yeah, the religious system has thoroughly indoctrinated the culture.
Yeah.
Where we are, anyway.
We have, in the little world in which I'm in, but I don't see much difference. I know there's some churches that are different than that, but as a whole, that's a blanket statement that that I see. When the whole idea that I understand in the New Covenant, and this goes back really was prophetic in the days of Moses, that all the people would prophesy.
Yeah.
He has poured his spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
What the heck does that mean?
Okay, that means everybody is qualified to speak on the behalf of God.
That's Acts 2, bro.
That's Acts 2. Mm. And that's a reality today. And when I say that to people today, they just look at me like I am crazy. And I'm like, it's Acts 2.
Yeah.
It's a 2,000-year-old reality that we have yet to walk into.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been right there.
And it's been there the whole time. Now, I realize there's a whole lot about understanding what that means.
But just that one phrase, he's poured out his spirit on all flesh.
Yeah. And then we want to act like he hadn't. He said he poured it out on all flesh, but then we want to run around and say who's got the Holy Ghost.
You do and you don't.
Yeah. And yeah, because if you did, you'd do like I did.
That's right. You'd believe like I do.
You'd believe like I do. You'd act like I do. You'd talk like I do. You'd do something. And then we're still in our judgment seat.
We're the only one not to... I lost my thought. I'll have to edit that one out.
That's all right. That's okay. But God's brought us into this face-to-face relationship where we're communing with Him, and then we are finding Him in others and hearing Him in others.
That's right.
Okay. So it changes how we think about people, that Christ is in every man, and can I relate to that person from that, even though they are not even relating to themselves that way.
Yeah.
They don't even love themselves, but can I love them?
Yeah.
They can't forgive themselves, but can I forgive them?
In light
them?
Of who you know who they are.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. And it's really not, for me, it's not that big of a stretch. I mean, I realize where we come from, man, we're out yonder where the buffalo roam, but it's not that big of a stretch if you can understand that it's because of Him that we exist, and the very purpose He created us was to have a relationship with us, and that's why He came in His Son to hammer out that relationship, even in our fallenness,
yes,
and make it a reality. It's secured.
It is secured. Yes.
Jesus is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Well, what sin you got? Well, whatever it is, it's been taken away, and there's a life available. Not the tree of knowledge, good and evil, but the tree of life. You just hear the truth of the Father, and it's the truth that makes you free. You can live that life that God has for you. The life that He has for me. It was a plan that God laid down in Christ before time began. And we're experiencing the unfolding of it. And it's good. It's good.
Yeah, the original intent of God in creation has reached a clarity in the person of Jesus. And it's going to reach a consummation in the ages to come, in the telos of the end, when God is all and in all.
He made all things new.
And He's made all things new.
He has done it.
He has done it.
Now he's doing it with us.
Right. Because he wants us along in the journey.
Yeah. And it's about the journey and the relationship, the partnership, learning to love my wife better. How you going to do that? Well, just living, paying attention, being aware, hearing the voice of the Father, all those things.
Well, we're told to like love our wife like Christ loved the church. We're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're told to love our enemy. And we're told to love others as Jesus has loved us.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care who you are. You'll find yourself like, okay, that's a pretty tall order. Don't know if I can, you know, do that. But in Romans 5, he says that the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us.
Yeah.
Okay, so this goes back to how we walk around in darkness and we're blinded to the truth, because the truth is, because Christ is in you by his Spirit.
Yeah.
His love is in you. So when Jesus says to love one another as I've loved you, he's in you to accomplish that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for riding along with us, listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way in experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website at findingourway.com.